This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome along to the Betting Weekly La Liga podcast in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook, alongside myself, Dan Roebuck, as per usual, Rory Barlow, editor of Football España and freelance Spanish football journalist, Alan Feely. Week 13 to preview. Just a reminder that if you have got the BetRivers app, then you can watch all of the La Liga games over the course of the weekend. So if you're taking our advice, and I hope that you are because it's been a profitable last few weeks for us, then you can watch the action unfold, watch all the big games. And of course, you can download the show as well, wherever you get your podcasts from, as well as watch via our YouTube channel. We're going to kick off, fellas, with the Derby Sevillano. Have I got that right? Probably not. In our private WhatsApp group, Alan has suggested that he is the authority on these two sides. So, Alan, the stage is set here for your good self to tell us the best bets for it. Just to remind our viewers and listeners here, the Real Betis are favourites, plus 125, Sevilla plus 260, the draw plus 220, over and under mark is 2.5, plus 110, overs under minus 136. Alan, what do you think there? Big game of the weekend. Betis favourites for the first derby of the season.
Yeah, I think it's an authority in the English language because there's a lot of guys in Spanish who are covering it much more closely than me. But yeah, like as I may have mentioned before, I lived in Sevilla for the bones the last 2 years. I cover both clubs very closely, spent a lot of time in both stadiums and around both clubs. And you know, the majority of my friend groups in that city are either, you know, Betico or Sevillista. So I'm well connected to the two clubs. I'm going for Betis to win, which was plus 125. And it's funny because we put in our picks yesterday morning and I was thinking last night, maybe it was a mistake to do that because notoriously, you know, for big derby games, form goes out the window and, you know, maybe the team who aren't exactly firing on all cylinders in domestic football can be the ones to pull something out of the bag, especially when they're not fancy to. And especially when they're going away to the Benito Villamarín and the Sevilla are this weekend. But then I watched, actually covered Man City's game against Sevilla last night. City won 3-1. And I was, again, kind of blown away by how poor Sevilla were. I mean, they're coming into this game off the back of a weekend where they lost to Rayo Vallecano at home at the Sanchez Pizjuan, which just isn't good enough, dropped into the relegation zone. And the amount of unforced errors they made against City was remarkable, genuinely. They were continually trying to play out from the back and making basic mistakes, losing the ball in dangerous positions that cost them a couple of goals. And it really kind of worried me from a Sevilla perspective because I was thinking that this team hasn't got the new manager balance that somebody like Jorge Sampaoli coming in would have normally generated. And it still seems to have the kind of inherent conservatism that Lopetegui drilled into this team. So it's kind of playing results football with a performance-based coach. And that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion. So I really would be surprised if they went to the Villamarín and got anything, to be honest with you. Betis, in comparison, are doing very, very well this season. And obviously they won last weekend against Real Sociedad and quite a significant game because, you know, people have been talking about La Real and Real Betis as the two kind of pretenders for that top four place that's opened up now that Sevilla have done so poorly this season. And it's been pretty neck and neck for them throughout the course of the season. Obviously, Real Sociedad had a nice impressive run quite recently. But I think that Betis, by not playing that well and winning the game in the manner they did, 2-0 at the Real Arena in San Sebastian, was very, very impressive and underlined what makes this team so special because they aren't a team that's exactly stuck to an idea or stuck to a way of playing or a certain conception of how football should be operated and used. They're a team who are flexible, they have great team spirit, They know how to deliver results when they need to, and they're performing very impressively both in Europe and the Europa League, which they're playing tonight, but the game's a dead rubber because they've already qualified for the next phase, and at home in La Liga too. So for that reason, I can't quite see beyond Real Betis this Sunday evening at the Benito Villamarín. And it's going to be a great game. I've been to a few Seville derbies at both, you know, Betis Stadium and Sevilla Stadium. I was at one in Betis Stadium that was postponed after 41 minutes because a palo or a stick was thrown and struck Juan Jordan during the game. So it can get quite heated. Hopefully nothing of that will happen this time because that was very anticlimactic, but I'm very, very much looking forward to the game. I might try and find a Betis or a Sevista Peña here in London to watch the game with some...
So Alan likes Betis here, plus 125. It will be lively. Betis, Rory, always like to look at historical stats and head-to-heads. I'm always a little bit wary when it comes to football. I know in tennis it's a huge thing. Sevilla have got a good record in this game in recent years. We are suggesting that will not count for this derby. How do you assess the big game on Sunday night?
Yeah, and just to give you sort of an insight into how sort of contested and fiery that derby is, Juan Jordan got hit by that stick, but most of the Betis fans that night and sort of beyond were annoyed that the game was postponed because they didn't feel like that was a good enough reason, and they felt that it didn't really strike him that hard, so they felt that there was some gamesmanship on Juan Jordan's part. So yeah, I feel like Betis, I kind of went through the same thought process as Alan at various points in this, because it is a derby. These games tend to be tighter. They tend to be different to sort of your usual sort of fixtures, and you kind of have to factor that into your analysis. But what tips the balance for me is just the sort of combination of all of these factors that are hurting Sevilla. So Sevilla, apart from being in poor form, I said last week that Sampaoli had pass marks in each of his kind of games, more or less, with maybe one or two possible exceptions. But that Rayo Vallecano defeat has shattered the illusion of progress. So the team up until that point could have said, right, okay, we're doing well under Sampaoli, we're doing well under the new manager, we're going in the right direction. But the Rayo match really kind of destroyed that. Again, the City was limp performance as well. The fact that they'll be missing Isco through suspension, they'll be missing Marcão most likely for a hamstring injury, and he's really improved their defence in recent weeks. Those are injuries that will play a big part, I feel, because although Isco's not been a star for Sevilla, he has still been pretty quietly quite good without necessarily making any waves. And Marcão, similarly, Sevilla haven't been impregnable in defence since he came back, but he's definitely improved matters. Real Betis will have the three most talented players on the park for me in Sergio Canales, Jorge Iglesias and Nabil Fekir. I think that plays a part, certainly when it comes down to sort of big moments, big games. If you can give it to somebody that you know that can create something out of nothing, that makes something. And then also Jorge Sampaoli, Manuel Pellegrini is just a better manager than Sampaoli. So Betis have better players, they're in better form, they've got more momentum, they've got a better manager. There's just too many factors here for me to, yeah, as Alan says, give Sevilla much of a chance. So plus 125 is a fairly decent bet for my liking. I was surprised the odds were that long for Betis, and I'm backing them as well.
I think 125.
Also, just to follow up on the Palo point that Rory mentions, that actually sparked a lot of animosity between the two fan bases, because obviously I was there when it happened, and the kind of whole narrative around it was that Sevilla were afraid to play Betis, and they kind of used the Palo incident as a means of escaping that game, because in that game, which is a half-length kickoff in the Copa del Rey at the Villamarín, Betis were the better side, they were dominating, and it was looking like they were going to knock Sevilla out of the competition. And so for the Beticos, their whole reasoning was that Sevilla were afraid to continue playing the game, so took, you know, a pretty insignificant slap in the head from a Palo to Juan Jordan to pull the team off the pitch. Conversely, Sevilla's whole reasoning behind it is that, you know, Betis are animals, they're uncivilized, they're savages, and that, you know, this assault, as they put it, on Juan Jordan was the latest in a line of, you know, infractions on their part. So it created this dynamic where a rivalry that was already quite intense got even worse. And that's not just between the fans, but also between the players, because there were several things on social media after the game from Betis' perspective, you know, basically mocking Juan Jordan and it became a bit spicy and testy. So I think the Betacos will really relish putting it to Sevilla, because in the following game after that Copa del Rey fixture, they played the Pijuan, and the Sevilla 1-2-1 quite comprehensively. So I really think that Betis would be up for this game in more ways than one. Coupled with the fact that, you know, the World Cup is around the corner, we're in a final stretch now. I think each team is kind of taking each game as it comes. Betis don't have that many players going to the World Cup. The key men that Rory mentioned aren't going. So the conditions are perfect for Betis to win.
Watch out for the prop bets when it comes to cards. Incidentally, they're not up on the site at the moment, BetRivers, but they will be, I suspect, after Betis have played in Europe this week. Very quickly on this, just give us an over-under pick and a goal scorer pick. Rory, just give us your very brief thoughts on those two markets for those who want to get involved in some of the other major markets for the game.
I'm imagining I'm stealing Alan's here, but Borja Iglesias is the obvious choice. He's their sort of top scorer. He's their main man up front. And as was kind of seen against Real Sociedad last week, he didn't really have much. He didn't have a great deal to work with, but he still managed to come up with a goal at the end. I'd be slightly inclined just to go unders on this one, just because, as we know, that as we kind of mentioned that kind of derby factor, the fact that teams get perhaps a bit more conservative in a derby, and the fact that there's a bit more tension, there's a reluctance to risk as much. So I think unders is slightly a better bet. And yeah, if you want to combine sort of unders or even go under 3.5 plus Betis, that's a way of sort of extending your odds out.
Okay, so we'd like him to, and Borja Iglesias to score at any time. He's plus 140. Alan, very quickly, over, under, and who would be a pick to get on the score sheet?
Yeah, I'm going to go the exact same as Rory. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
Because reasoning is basically Borja Iglesias, as Rory mentioned, is, you know, he's in good form. And he's the kind of player who scores goals, like Sid Lowe was speaking last week about him, because he was at the game against La Real and Borja scored the important first goal. A second goal. And he said that, you know, the thing with Borja is that he kind of wins goals through hard work and tenacity rather than through luck or timing. Like he works very, very hard for his goals. And he's a player who's very much endeared himself to the Betis supporters. Just this week, he was posted on social media, a picture of him with two kind of maybe North African lads outside Betis' stadium. And he said, you know, took a selfie with these guys. They had no phone on them. So here it is, basically, like, you know, because they didn't bring a phone with them to the stadium to meet the players. He took a selfie and posted on social media. And of course, it was, you know, it went very well for him on those social media networks. But it was just kind of an insight into his personality. He's a really cool guy, a really nice guy, who I've coincidentally met like 3 or 4 times in the last year, like randomly bumping into him, both in Madrid and in Seville, just in like on the street in civilian clothes. So we have a strange connection, me and Borja.
Plus 148 to get the first goal. Sorry, to score at any time. Bit bigger to score the first goal. He's got 8 so far this season. Right, let's rattle through the rest of the selections, shall we? We're going to start Friday night. Rory, you're next up here. Girona against Athletic Club. Athletic plus 104. Girona plus 275. The home side draw plus 255. You've ignored the match betting and you've gone for the overs unders market, Rory.
Yeah, I'm going over 2.5 goals at minus 103. Athletic so far, overs, unders, they're 6 for overs, 6 for unders so far in their 12 games. Girona have calmed down and 3 of their last 4 games have been 1-1 draws. So they've kind of solidified a little bit. But if you look at those games, the 2 draws, one of them was against Osasuna, was kind of a fairly lackluster affair in midweek. I think both teams looked a little bit tired. And then the other one, Cadiz, it's a team that has less firepower traditionally than certainly Athletic do, and certainly most teams in La Liga do. And then everyone was against Real Madrid, of course, at last weekend. Now, that was a good performance defensively from Girona. They were pretty solid on the whole, but if you watch that game, it was a game that deserved to have over 2.5 goals. There was the woodwork was struck. There was a goal disallowed for Real Madrid. And yeah, Girona were very unlucky not to score another as well. So yeah, Girona, I think they've been good in recent weeks. They were decent against Girona. They're looking, as I say, a little bit more solid, but I still think that this is a team that's vulnerable. And when you go up against an Athletic side that are better away from home, they're better in particular away from home against kind of the teams towards the bottom of the table. I think Ernesto Valverde looks at this game and wants to open it up. He says, that's fine. We don't mind this game being sort of back and forth, up and down. Girona, okay, they're good on the ball and they've got good attacking weapons, but he'll back his side to sort of outgun Girona, so to speak. And Girona, we just know that they play pretty much the same way in every game. I think Real Madrid was the most defensive they've been this season, and they were still kind of going at them on the counter-attack pretty gung-ho, so to speak, compared to most teams. So yeah, I think it'll be an entertaining game, an up-and-down game. Athletic, they're just coming off a kind of four-game winless streak. They beat Villarreal last weekend, and I think they look at this, they look at these two fixtures. So there's a midweek round just comes straight after this weekend. They have Girona here and then Valladolid. They look at those two games, 6 points. That probably leaves us, if not fifth, then in the Champions League spots. So I think, yeah, Ernesto Valverde will be going for the win in this. Girona will also be going for the win in this. That makes for an open game between two teams that so far have been pretty good in attack. And so, yeah, over 2.5 goals, minus 103. That's my bet for this one.
If you do fancy both teams to score, yes, it's minus 125. But Rory, identifying a bigger price with over 2.5 goals. Real Valladolid against Elche next in the big five leagues in Europe. Only two teams yet to win a league game, Cremonese in Serie A and Elche in La Liga. This looks like home banker material, Alan.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I mean, football is football. There's no such thing as a dead cert, but I think Elche at home is as close as it gets. Like Valladolid are a team who surprised me, actually. I've kind of been criticizing them throughout the course of the season. I thought they'd be, if not, you know, certs for relegation, they'd very much be in the relegation battle. But as things stand, they're currently pretty comfortable in lower mid-table. I still think they're too inconsistent to kind of push on and maybe solidify themselves in that kind of, you know, between maybe 9th and 11th or 12th. But I do think they have a good chance of, you know, kind of establishing themselves in that cohort of clubs between kind of, you know, mid-table and the kind of lower reaches of the table, because they do have quality. They are a big club historically. They have a good fan base. You know, they have some good players. So they should, in theory, given the way they performed so far this season, we're a quarter in, have what it takes to stay up. However, like I said, I don't think they have the kind of consistency or the quality to kind of, you know, put together a strong run of results. So while I wouldn't necessarily back them every week against, you know, clubs who are in the same weight class as them in many ways, I do think that against Elche at home, who, as you mentioned, you know, there's discussions happening in Spain whether Elche are the worst team to ever play in La Liga. That's genuinely what the rhetoric is around them right now. And just kind of quite muddled on and off the pitch and the way they've approached their strategy. So I just can't see beyond a home win, to be perfectly honest with you. It's minus 118, which I was surprised. I thought that was, you know, quite short odds for this game. But yeah, I can't see beyond it. You know, the Jose Zuril has an atmospheric place, you know, purple seats, all that kind of thing. I'm sure the fans, you know, for a Friday night game will be up for it. Maybe, or sorry, for a Saturday afternoon game would be up for it. Maybe not one for the neutrals. But I think that they should have enough about them to see off Elche. So I'm going to go for a home win for Valladolid.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best bets of the weekend. Minus 118, Valladolid to beat Elche at home. Elche, incidentally, minus 670 to be relegated. Very short to go down. Valladolid plus 300 to be relegated. They are fifth favourites. So at the moment, the traders believe that they will stay up. You talked about certainties. No such thing. Maybe there is, Alan. Barcelona against Almeria. Barcelona -1,115 to win at home. Almeria +2,500. The draw +1,050. It's the shortest price we've seen a team in La Liga this season. It's the shortest price I think we've seen a team across the big five leagues in Europe. We can't obviously back them to win, although, and Nigel the boss would never ever condone this, but Amory have never ever picked up a point away from home against Barcelona. You could argue that although it's the shortest price we've seen, it might be a value play, but we can't just back them to win. So how are we tackling this from a betting point of view, Alan?
Yeah, I think I get a slap in the wrist from Nigel if I back them. So I'm going to back them to win over 3.5 goals, which was -129 when I checked. I'm coming at it from a couple of different perspectives. I think, like I mentioned earlier with Real Betis, the way the season has developed now is that we're in the tail end of this period and before the World Cup. So I really do think that after the Champions League disappointment, and even though they beat Victoria Pleasant during the week, it was still a disappointment in my opinion, because they weren't convincing, they conceded two goals, it wasn't exactly the kind of send-off that they would have wanted, the reaction they would have wanted against a team who had been woeful this season. So given that they have no more Champions League football to look forward to, and everything has gone into the league basket basically, I really do think that Xavi will have ensured his troops are completely focused, completely lasered in on, you know, La Liga, especially Europa League is secondary. And this period between now and the World Cup is the perfect chance for them to put together a couple of strong performances without the caveat of, you know, losing to Bayern Munich the following midweek or drawing at home to Inter Milan the following midweek. Put together two or three strong wins, you know, don't concede, score a couple of goals, have a couple of goleadas, as they say in Spain. And then you go into the World Cup with a bit more positivity, and then you can refresh after the World Cup when your players are back, Koundé is back, Araujo is back, and reset, forget the Champions League, focus purely on La Liga. So that's why I think that Xavi will be really, really holding to this game, and the players will be too, they'd be hurting. And as you mentioned, Almeria have so little about them, away from home especially, even though they have done quite well at home. They're not doing badly so far this season for the first season in the top flight. I think they could beat relegation. It could be a struggle, but I think they could do it. So that's the reasoning, basically. I think that Barca are going to try and put in a strong performance. They're going to try and score as many goals as possible. They have players like Ousmane Dembele and Rafinha, who are world-class players in many ways. Don't quite have the consistency at this point in their careers to do it week in, week out against the biggest teams in Europe. But when you put them against the middle class and lower class of La Liga, they're just, you know, head and shoulders above them all. And we've seen that with Barcelona this season and with Real Madrid too, for the most part, that when they come up against smaller clubs in Spain, that it's not even a contest, basically. It's not a matter of are they going to win, it's a matter of by how much are they going to win. That's created a very kind of imbalanced situation in Spanish football, where you basically have a kind of two-tiered league for the first time in, I would say, three or four seasons, where Madrid and Barca are so much better than everybody else. Is it bad for competition? Yes, it is. Normally, that's coincided with, you know, both Barca and Real Madrid dominating in Europe. Only one of them are doing that right now, Real Madrid. So, yeah, it's kind of a troubling situation, you could say. But I think that for the purposes of bettors looking for an easy bet this weekend, Barcelona to beat Almeria over 3.5 goals with the talent they have in their ranks, even without Robert Lewandowski, who could be injured for this game, should be too much. So -129, short odds, but pretty safe odds in my opinion.
Yeah, not too bad. I think at -129, just a shade under even money. Last preview we've got for you is Real Sociedad against Valencia. Rory, you are going for a La Real win here. Just doing a bit of research last night. All of La Real's defeats this season have come after midweek games. So you're hoping that they will buck that trend. Valencia, I presume without Edison Cavani, talk us through this one for us.
Yeah, I'm going La Real to win at -113. Cavani, just on that, he is supposedly going to make it, but I tend to be of the opinion that even if he does make it, then he might not be stretched too far and won't play 90 minutes, that kind of thing, which significantly, it makes Valencia a lot blunter, to put it lightly. I mean, even against Barcelona last weekend, I thought that they came forward reasonably well. But then when they got to the final third, they did not have the punch or the movement to sort of exploit Barcelona's defence, really. And so they're winless in four. They've won away win this season against Osasuna. They have two draws away from home. Both of those were against Sevilla and Espanyol, which are two sides that so far this season have been pretty poor. They've just two clean sheets this season against Girona and Celta. Again, two sides that have struggled. The Girona one was right at the start of the season. So I think we're seeing the Gattuso effect sort of level out a little bit away from home. They've not been quite the same side that they have been at home. And I think that ambitious style of play that we've sort of highlighted before, when you take that away from home and you're not perfect at it, you're not sort of a solid team, then that comes back to bite you. La Real, yes, okay, they've lost their last two league games. I think the Valladolid defeat was an accident. I think that took them by surprise, to be honest. And then the Betis one, they did get beaten, and they got beaten by a very good Betis side, as we've discussed, but they also played very well. And I think Betis are one of three, maybe four teams in La Liga, Barcelona and Madrid being two of them, that win that game, that they had the quality and the sort of tenacity to come through it. But I think against 16 of the other sides, 17 of the other sides in La Liga, La Real win it based on their performance in that match. I thought that they were pretty good, to be honest. They just slightly lacked a little bit of sharpness at the right end, which Betis had. And so I look at that. Real Sociedad have a decent chance of finishing top of their Europa League group against Manchester United. They just need to avoid defeat by two goals. So if you have the euphoria of that, that will help as well. But they've just had one draw this season against Atletico Madrid. That was at the start of September. And so they either win or they lose. And I just think this Valencia side has too many weaknesses. Mukhtar Diakabi as well, who I've always been a bit sceptical about in defence, but this season has been pretty good. He's going to be missing as well. So I think, yeah, there's too many issues with this Valencia side to say that they're perfect. Real Sociedad are a good team. I think even though they've had those two league defeats, they're in relatively good form. They had sort of an 8-match winning run just before that. And so, yeah, I'm backing La Real to win at -113 because I think, yeah, they just have less errors in them. And at home, as we say, we're coming into that final period. This will be that their last home game before the World Cup. It's just they're closer to the win than they are to the loss. And as I say, with La Real, they either win or they lose.
Gustav, -113 for a La Real victory against Valencia. Valencia +255, draw +340. Let's get a reminder of the boys' selections when it comes to week 13 of La Liga. We have seen selections from both of Alan and Rory in the Seville derby, and both like Real Betis here, +125. That is one of the main selections when it comes to the weekend. And then Alan also goes for Valladolid to beat Elche, -118, and Barcelona versus Almeria, Barca to win over 3.5 goals, -129. Rory likes over 2.5 goals in the Girona Athletic Club game, -103, and La Real to beat Valencia at -113. We are -3.77 when it comes to our profit and loss over the course of the season. We are inching towards getting into the green for the campaign. And just a reminder that we have got our handicappers league table for you as well. So if you are across all of our leagues, this is how it looks at the moment. Champions League boys doing well, +619. Liga took a bit of a hit at the weekend, but they are still in profit, as are the handicappers for Portugal, for the Premier League, and the Championship in Serie A just slightly in the red. Likewise, La Liga plays over the course of the season. Europa League, Liga MX, Bundesliga, a bit of work to do to get back into the green for the season. That's how the Handicappers League table looks. We are going to be back for a midweek session next week because we're getting very close to the World Cup. So we've got games next midweek. So we're going to be back on Monday. Alan, Rory, many thanks for your company as per usual. Wish you well with your selections. Make sure you cross all of our previews. You can download the podcasts, of course. Our Twitter handle is @BecauseWeWin. And don't forget, in the next couple of weeks, we will have some World Cup content for you as well. We'll be predicting all of the groups, World Cup outrights, plus some prop bets, goal scorers, and so on. And we'll have content throughout the competition in Qatar. Alan and Rory will be contributing to that. That's your lot for this week. We will speak again early next week.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly La Liga on the BetRivers Network.